Would you all please arise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hoorah.
Okay, roll call, please.
Chairman Peters?
Present.
Vice Chair Poikert?
Present.
Commissioner Gilbert? Commissioner Esbander?
Present.
Commissioner Gonzalez?
Present.
One absent, two vacancies.
Okay. Do we have any requests to speak on anything not on the agenda?
No, sir.
Okay. All right. Did everyone get a chance to review the Planning Commission meeting minutes from September 3rd?
I move to approve the minutes of September 2nd.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No? Okay. All right. Public hearing. Next item. First item.
All right. Good evening, Chair and Commissioners. I'll be giving the presentation on the public hearing item tonight. This is an application that was filed by Crown Venture Holdings. The file numbers for reference are Conditional Development Permit number 2023-0007, Precise Plan of Design number 2023-0006, and Environmental Assessment Review number 2023-0010. And the project is entitled the Santa Ana Truck Terminal. On this first slide here, just showing you the project site, it is comprised of 45.7 acres of land that is currently one parcel. It's located on the south side of Santa Ana Avenue, approximately 1,800 feet east of Riverside Avenue. This property is within the Agua Manza Specific Plan area, and within the Agua Manza Specific Plan, it has a land use designation of heavy industrial. And you can see an image, an aerial image there showing the boundaries of the project site there in yellow. It is predominantly an industrial area. There are no sensitive uses nearby. To the north of the site is a pallet yard and a concrete company. To the east of the site is the city's wastewater treatment plant. And then to the south, you have a landfill that's just outside the city limits. And then to the west, you have a auto salvage yard. So the proposal by the applicant tonight is to develop the site with a truck terminal facility for unloading, loading, transferring of goods that are in the supply chain distribution. As a part of that project, the applicant proposes to construct a 172,445 square foot cross dock truck terminal building, then also construct an 18,700 square foot fleet maintenance building. And in addition to those buildings, they'll install associated improvements on site, such as paving, landscaping, fencing, lighting, and drainage improvements. The truck terminal will be operated by Central Transport, which is an existing logistics company here in the city of Rialto. They have a few different locations in the nearby area of the project site. Their plan would be to consolidate all those existing operations into this one facility. On the next slide here, this is the site plan. So as I mentioned, they're proposing to develop two industrial buildings. The larger one on the right end of the image there, the tan long building there, is the truck terminal building, just over 172,000 square feet. It'll be on the east end of the site, set back about 70 feet from the Santa Ana Avenue frontage. Then to the left of it, you'll see a much smaller tan building. That's the fleet maintenance building, about 300 feet west of the truck terminal building. The remainder of the site will primarily be pavement for various parking. There will be 100 spaces for trucks, 679 spaces for trailers, and then 149 spaces for passenger vehicles. The trucks and trailers will be parked on both sides of the truck terminal building, and then also a larger parking area at the southwest corner of the site. Then the passenger vehicle parking area will be just north of the fleet maintenance building. Then you can see all the green there that indicates landscape planters. It'll be planted around the entire perimeter of the site and also throughout some of the parking areas too. Access to the site will be provided via two new driveways. I've indicated their locations there with the red arrows. The driveway on the left or the west end will be a 32-foot driveway. That's going to be the primary entry into the site. That will allow both right in and left out turning movements. for trucks and passenger vehicles. And then there will be a driveway on the east end that'll be 26 foot in width. This is more of a secondary driveway, but would accommodate both truck traffic and emergency vehicles. The next slide here is showing the floor plans of both buildings. The truck terminal building's shown at the top of the screen. That building will have 5,890 square feet dedicated to office space. The remainder of the building, over 166,000 square feet, will be dedicated to the storage and loading areas. The building will have 280 loading doors, evenly split on both sides, so 140 dock doors on the west side and 140 on the east side. Then you have the fleet maintenance building shown at the lower right. These are not to scale on this image, but that's the smaller 18,700 square foot building. It will have 890 square feet of office space. The remainder, 17,810, will be dedicated to the fleet maintenance service. The building will have 15 roll-up doors to provide entry and exit in the building, 7 on one side and 8 on the other. There will also be 3 fuel dispensers and an overhead canopy on the side of the building for fleet fueling operation service. The next slide here, this is a rendering that was prepared by the applicant just to kind of show you what the site would look like upon completion, what the building would look like. The exterior of the building will be composed of metal. It will have some articulation on the north side facing Santa Ana Avenue just to help break up that wall plane. There'll also be some glass also installed on there, just some to add some additional architectural features. This image is basically looking, we're up above, looking southwest, kind of above Santa Ana Avenue. So you'd be able to see where the buildings are and where the driveways are and where trucks and whatnot would be operating on site. I will just note one thing on this image. It's not shown on here. There will be a screen wall installed along the Santa Ana Avenue frontage so that all of the truck activities will be screened from public view. Just moving on to some of the analysis that was prepared for the project. There was a traffic study prepared by Kimley Horn. The trip generation in the study estimated that the project will generate up to 951 actual daily vehicle trips. 574 of those at most would be truck trips. I mean, it estimated 56 trips in the AM peak hour and 124 trips in the PM peak hour. Getting the trip generation numbers, the study goes on to analyze the impacts of those trips to nearby intersections. There were 5 intersections analyzed in the study. The study determined that all 5 intersections will operate at an acceptable level of service with existing plus project traffic. But when we factor in cumulative project traffic, 2 of the intersections are projected to be at a level of service E or worse. And those 2 intersections are Riverside Avenue and the I-10 eastbound ramps, and then also Riverside Avenue and Slover Avenue. The study includes some recommended improvements that would bring those intersections to an acceptable level of service. Those improvements include adding a northbound right turn lane onto the I-10 freeway at the Riverside and I-10 eastbound ramps. And then also adding 3rd northbound and southbound lanes at the intersection of Riverside and Slover Avenue. Those improvements that were identified in the traffic study are a part of a programmed project called the Riverside Avenue Widening Project. The traffic study identified the project's fair share towards those improvements, which come out to $721,711. In addition to the fair share fee identified in the traffic study, the applicant will also pay $535,206 in regional traffic development impact fees. And those fees, both the fair share fee and the development impact fees, will be required to be paid prior to issuance of a building permit. In addition to the fair share fee that I mentioned and any of the other project components that the applicant is proposing, the applicant has also voluntarily proposed to repave the full width of Santa Ana Avenue between the intersection of Riverside Avenue all the way east to the east boundary of the project. So that'll be both sides, full width. Additionally, the applicant proposes to contribute $1.5 million for public facility and infrastructure needs in the area. And that contribution would be paid prior to issuance of a certificate of occupancy.
Okay, that's you're reading my mind and a few questions I have. So I was, my iPad's updating, so I was looking at the satellite imagery on my phone,
mm-hmm.
and Slover, and that is completely red. So yeah. You got a lot of vehicles diverting off Riverside Avenue, which is a mess already. And Santa Ana, it's a two-lane road. Then I can see the cracks from an old Apple satellite photo of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's no curbing there. It's all dirt. So those are concerns, but I'll open the public hearing.
Sure, yeah. So the applicant will install full curb, gutter, sidewalk along their project frontage, and then repave all of the remaining areas of Santa Ana Avenue, the existing areas.
So it's two lanes with that much truck traffic right there. That's not a concern?
It will be paved to what the general plan has identified as the ultimate width for Santa Ana Avenue. Yeah. Just moving on here, this is the environmental analysis that was prepared for the project. There was an environmental impact report prepared by Kim Lee Horn. EIR indicated the project will have significant and unavoidable impacts to air quality, greenhouse gas emissions, and transportation traffic as it relates to VMTs. The city did hire a third-party peer reviewer, EcoTierra, to review the environmental impact report. A notice of preparation was prepared for the EIR that was circulated from December 8th, 2023 to January 22nd, 2024. There were three comment letters that were received during the notice of preparation period, and then those comment letters were addressed in the draft environmental impact report. The draft environmental impact report was completed in August of 2024, and it was circulated for a 45-day public review period that occurred from August 26, 2024 to October 10th, 2024. During the 45-day public comment period, only one comment letter was received. It was from Department of Toxic Substances Control. And final environmental impact report with response to the comment letter was prepared in March of 2025. The response to comments was sent to DTSC in advance of tonight's public hearing. The environmental impact report that's been prepared for the project was completed in accordance with the requirements of the California Environmental Quality Act. Included in tonight's resolution is a statement of overriding considerations for the project. The statement of overriding considerations includes the benefits of the project that would outweigh the impacts that were identified in the environmental impact report. Those benefits that are identified in the statement of overriding considerations include, number one, that the project is consistent with the goals and objectives of the general plan and the Agua Manza specific plan. This project is consistent with the intent vision of that heavy industrial land use district in the Agua Manza specific plan. Also, the project will create employment generating opportunities, both temporary construction jobs and permanent jobs at the facility. The project will also provide an increase in tax revenue in the forms of both direct and indirect property tax increase, business license tax, sales tax from employees that will now be in the area, and then also utility tax. The development will also attract related businesses, fostering long-term economic growth to the area. As I already mentioned, the applicant will repave Santa Ana Avenue beyond their requirement. The applicant will also provide a lump sum payment of $1.5 million that will fund public facility and infrastructure needs in the area. The project will also improve the efficiency of regional and national goods movement. And lastly, the project will provide extensive landscaping improvements to enhance the aesthetic and environmental quality of the site. I just will also note that the project did go to the Economic Development Committee in January of this year. The Economic Development Committee did review the project and then did recommend that the staff move the project forward through the public hearing process. And with that, the staff recommends that the Planning Commission adopt the resolutions before you tonight. which would be forwarding a recommendation to the City Council to both adopt the environmental impact report and then approve the conditional development permit and precise plan of design. And that concludes my presentations. I'm available if you have any questions. The applicant and their consultants are also available.
Okay. We'll go and open up public comments and any questions of staff? Yeah. Do you have any?
No.
Yeah, I have questions, but the traffic there. The applicant? Yeah, I will. Is the traffic engineer here by chance too?
Yeah.
Oh, great. I got a lot of questions for the traffic engineer. So maybe we get the applicant and the traffic engineer up to the
podium. You want them first? Okay.
Yeah.
No problem. Dave, you want to speak?
Yeah, you want to start with the comments.
Okay.
Good evening, members of the commission. My name is Greg Obloy. I'm vice president with Crown Enterprises, and we're really excited to be here. And this project demonstrates our continued commitment to the city of Rialto. You know, we've owned this site since 2016. We've been developing it with staff, and what's in front of you is 2 years of hard work, but it's also an opportunity for CT to continue its operations and again show its commitment. I don't have many comments. Daniel did a great job in a comprehensive way. Just a couple of things really quick. You know, this was a former mining operation. So we are reclaiming the property with infill and reusing it to put it to good use. So this would otherwise just be a dead, you know, quarry that we really are bringing back to life. It's an owner-operated site. Crown owns it. CT operates it. We're one and the same. So this is not a spec building. CT is going to go in there and operate much more efficiently than they do now. With me today is our president, Todd Goss, project manager for this, Andrew Falzerano. Paige Gosney is our land use attorney. And then from Kimley Horn, our engineers, we have experts in traffic, air quality, CEQA, and civil. And with that, I'll sit down.
Well, I have a question for you.
Sure.
I think it's obviously that area is zoned for all of this, and it's a great, great project and idea. But that Santa Ana is so narrow, regardless of repaving it, it's going to be grenaded in about 2 years with that much trucks going through there. Is there any possibility of it can be widened? I don't know if the city even looked at that. Widened a little bit more to accommodate. That's a heavy flow of truck traffic. And obviously, Riverside Avenue, we're already contributing to that. But that street itself is so narrow. I just have concerns of that area. It's a mess getting through there, especially at 5 or that time.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're at the end of the site.
Okay.
I was at the site today, right? We have the water treatment facility to the east of us. That's a very low traffic generator.
Okay.
And to the north of us is, we have a vacant spec building next to us. To the north of us is pallets, but their access is all east. The mine and what's left of that mine, Holiday Rock, you know, to the west.
Yeah.
And then you have the salvage yard, and then you got the Kinder Morgan site, right? And I was there today, and a lot of their traffic's going off Riverside, not really hitting Santa Ana. I don't doubt that, there's going to be increased volume of trucks there.
Yeah.
But on that site, it's going to be self-generated, not by us. And we're the primary user there.
Okay.
The traffic that you're seeing on there now is the fill that's coming on to reclaim the land. So there's an artificial traffic that's going on there right now to bring that fill to the site so that we can reclaim it. But I think, you know, once it's built and the roads are fixed and guttered, I don't think it's going to be a traffic problem. And trust us, we're the operator. We have a huge, huge investment. And if we thought
time is money for you,
time is money for our drivers. Yeah. I mean, if we really thought that was an issue, we wouldn't be doing this. We'd stay on Riverside Drive. And so we're the one that are really taking this risk.
And what was it going to be the hours of operation again?
So this is an LTL carrier. So a couple of things that are unique to LTL carriers is it is only our trucks that come on and off this site. It operates Monday through Friday, 8 to 5.
Okay.
The drivers go out in the morning with a full truck. They hit their routes and they do their drop-offs. While they're out there, they then, in the afternoon, they have pickups and they come back with a full load.
Okay.
So it is a Monday through Friday. There is a little bit of traffic in the evening. We might have, like, there'll be full trailers, like stuff that's coming from like NorCal or from San Diego will come up with full trailers, or the drivers meet halfway and swap trailers. There's a lot of logistics.
Yeah.
It's a lot of really smart people come up with the logistics on moving the freight in the most efficient way possible. But it is a Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 operation.
Okay.
Now, but how many people will you be employing permanently? Do you have an idea?
Todd? Employment?
Right now, yeah. So it's essentially the same employment's going to move over. I think we have 100 drivers over on Riverside right now.
Okay, and part-time?
No.
They're all full-time?
These are full-time drivers. And what's great about LTL, as I said, these guys, they live and work in the community. So these drivers, you know, they're going home at 5 o'clock or when their route's done. It's
right.
That's the other thing with the traffic. So the trucks go out any time between like 8 and 9. It's staggered. And they come back depending on how they finish their routes. And they're generally done for the day. There are on-site dock workers. There's mechanics there. And we do have, like I call them, line haul drivers that kind of work in the early evening that, you know, pull trucks from other terminals. Because mm-hmm. the concept is that a business here in Rialto that makes a widget and they want to send it to New Jersey, they hire us, and through our network of Spoke and Hub, we can get it to New Jersey in a cost-efficient and timely manner.
You have other facilities in Rialto? Or is this a consolidation? Or?
Yeah, so we have three parcels on Riverside, on the east side, just to the west of this site, and then mm-hmm. we have a drop lot on the west side of Riverside that we just gave up. We do have other sites in the Inland Empire. We have a site in Colton. We have a site. We have a large site in Fontana. We just left Rancho Cucamonga. So we've been in this community for a while.
Okay, but you're consolidating operations?
Yeah, so we'll consolidate the land on the east and west side of Riverside to here.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Traffic engineer or the owner or... Yes, sir.
Just really quickly, I'm Paige Gosney. I'm land use counsel for the applicant. I just wanted to provide a little more color and background on the consolidation and on Santa Ana Avenue, and just understanding that the site was historically used as an aggregate mine. And, you know, the trucks, the fill trucks that you've been saying and that have been, you know, going as the reclamation has been ongoing for the last couple of years, that's similar to, I think, the volume of trucks that you saw when it was an active quarry mine and you had trucks coming in, picking up aggregate, taking them off, and that kind of a thing. So the road, you know, to Daniel's point, general plan width, this is what the city has planned for in terms of the width of mm-hmm. Santa Ana Avenue. It's a dead end road. So you're not going to have through traffic.
Okay.
And to Greg's point, a lot of those businesses on the north side are taking access off of Riverside Avenue. So it's a narrower road, but it's a very small community of vehicles and trucks that are actually going to be using it. And the other wrinkle that I just wanted to add on that with respect to the consolidation is the sites on Riverside Avenue now, a lot of the delays that you see on Riverside is you have trucks from Central Transport that are going out onto Riverside and back in to the other site that's adjacent to it, but that's not internally accessible, or are going across the street to the drop lot that was recently opened and then was given away. So a lot of that congestion, where they don't have lights, you don't have anything like that regulates that in and out traffic, all of that is going to be taken off of Riverside Avenue.
Okay.
And it's going to be put onto the site. So it will all be self-contained. The Riverside Avenue, Santa Ana Avenue light will regulate in and out of all that traffic. And again, it's 8 to 5, and this isn't, you know, a whole kind of crazy influx and outflux of trucks. That's different from what historically has been the case at the site and is there now.
Thank you very much, sir.
Absolutely. And we have Ace Felisos as our traffic engineer.
Yeah, I'd like to stop a few questions, if possible. Yeah, I thought it was different.
Hi, fully representing the applicant.
Yes, sir. What was your, how many days did you do this traffic study and what hours?
Sure. It was during for the AM and PM peaks of adjacent street traffic. So the AM peak was during 7 to 9 AM and the PM peak was 4 to 6. The counts are actually historical counts that were collected in 2018 at all the subject intersections and grown up until the existing year at the time, which was 2023.
Okay, so the data is 3 years old?
Correct.
Okay. And how many days did you collect that data? What's your sample size?
Sure, a single day for each, for all of the AM.
For 30 days? Or for the whole, every day for a whole year?
No, just for one single day during those peak periods, AM and PM.
How many days?
One day.
And you think that's sufficient?
Yes. Yes, that's...
I know that meets the state requirement, but it's kind of like... It's a little... It's disappointing that the law allows it so few. So your traffic study is based upon historical data from 18, you said?
18, growing up until 2023.
So
a factor of 2% was applied to grow it each individual year up until...
And what day did you pick out of that one day? All those years?
It was just one weekday while school was in session and all, I guess, typical activities would be going on. So not during holidays, not during...
Sure?
Summer when school would be out, during a time when, I guess, peak typical operations would be occurring. So a typical weekday, I believe it was a Tuesday for all the different study interests.
So your traffic study is one Tuesday out of 6 years?
Yes.
However, four hours.
That is correct. But that is consistent with, what is expected in all other local jurisdictions for, this type of development or otherwise. Usually we're looking at, the impacts of the projects and that's a typical worst case as well. We're looking at the single worst hour in every single day.
Yeah.
So that will reflect the typical worst case. And so what we're obtaining with the typical weekday data that we're getting for the AM and PM peaks are consistent with what we expect for a typical baseline.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
I have a question for you.
I have a question for you.
Let me get my thoughts together. One of the concerns that I have, and I think Jerry just mentioned part of it, is the heavy traffic load in that area. Even though you're industrial, heavy industrial area, there's a lot of traffic, truck traffic, mm-hmm. for the pollution. And even though you've done the environmental assessment review and all that, my concern is how much does that consider the other businesses in that area or just yours?
It does consider the other businesses, yes. So we, in the traffic study, had looked at other existing businesses as well as, I believe, 13 future developments, so projects that are not constructed at the time but would be inclusive of other truck-generating projects that would be constructed all the way up until the project's opening year. So it does encompass other projects in the area and other truck traffic.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Question for both of you. So, obviously, the applicant is already here, and they're following current state law. The state law allows for a very misleading result on these things, at best. I'm giving it that at best. After this project, because we can't do it midstream, can the city add a broader sample size requirement than the minimum state standard? Because this is ridiculous. You're talking 6 year, you're talking 18 to 2023, we're already in 2026, so that's 9-year-old data, sample size for hundreds of trucks for 4 hours, one day out of that whole 6 years. That's already 9 years old. How does that make any sense?
So just to clarify, so I understand, you're asking if, not with this project,
but as a policy matter,
could the city change its
requirement? For example, let's say for a project like this, that the city, obviously the state would have its minimum, but the city could say, okay, yeah, I get the state has the floor, but as a city, we want that traffic study to be,
2 days.
4 days a month for, six months. Can we broaden it till we get, because this is not a true reflection. I don't know. I think that's why people don't like statistics, because you can make them say whatever you want. And this is the classic example. Not with you guys here. I'm just saying in general. It's disingenuous a bit, the way the state allows it. So I'm wondering, can we add a stricter standard? Maybe we see if the council's interested in it.
Well, I think that's something we'd have to explore. Obviously, I don't have the answer for you tonight.
Okay.
But that would be a policy decision
that this council would have to determine with the city.
Yeah, yeah. But that's something that we can potentially.
We got to do something. This is kind of silly. Okay. Yeah. Any other questions for?
Yeah, I'm This is one of the, well, this is my last day here, so I'm gonna say whatever I want. And I'm not gonna say say anything negative about program, but I think the city uses the bare minimum, as Jerry was saying, as a floor for assessing, and these are the results of that we have to work with, the results of the reviews and studies and all of that. We go by the city goes by the bottom line. If we could increase that 10% higher.
Yeah, something that makes sense. Maybe it's like the double R's again. Let's see what Rancho and Redlands does. Do they have a thing above the floor? Let's see what, those are two cities that are flourishing quite a bit.
In Riverside.
Maybe they have a stricter standard. I'd like to look at that.
And that's all I'm saying. You know, I welcome you guys, the businesses. But I think we need to take care of the pollution for people who live here, who can't move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because as we get older, you know, we breathe all this pollution, and that causes a lot of problems for the young people, the young kids. And this is, even though it's concentrated in one part of the city, the wind blows both ways. And of the residents, and that's my concern, the residents are taking the brunt of the pollution. And we need to have better standards for pollution control. And our current administration federally is wiping all of those regulations out, and I think that's wrong.
All right, Mr.
Anyway,
yeah.
That's all I want to say right now.
Okay, thank you.
I'll run for political office if I want to say more.
Yeah, thank you. Any no other questions of staff? Do we have any questions of the community to speak on this?
No, sir.
Sir.
Move to close the public hearing.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Move to adopt the attached resolution exhibit K, L, and M, thereby forwarding to the City Council a recommendation to certify the final environmental impact report, environmental assessment review number 2023-0010. To approve the conditional development permit number 2023-0009 and to approve precise plastic design number 2023-0006 based upon the findings and subject to the conditions therein.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Congratulations. Please do good, sir. Congratulations.
Good luck.
Thank you. Now it's another very important time, and I'm going to turn it to you, acknowledge the outgoing commissioners.
Yes, thank you, Chair. So we have an acknowledgement for our outgoing commissioners, and I think Paul has got some presentations to get you guys, so we'll let him take it on, and then we will turn it over to Miss Barbara McGee, our city clerk, after that for the next run of the night.
All right, perfect. I'll let you guys take it from here. Sweet.
Good evening, Chair and members of the Planning Commission. Paul Gonzalez, Community Development Manager.
On behalf of the city, it's my pleasure to acknowledge John Poikert, Artis Gilbert, and Frank Gonzalez for all your years of service working on the Planning Commission. I did the total, it was over 30 total years you guys have all put together, if not more, so thank you. It's been a pleasure working with you gentlemen. You've made more decisions in the last 15 to 20 years being on here, the largest decisions on projects that has happened in the last probably 50 years, the city of Rialto. And you've seen the development around the city. You made decisions on large projects, residential projects, marketplaces, the Sprouts, and you can see it all over the care that staff has put into it to bring before you and the decisions you guys have made for this community that you guys live in and love. Greatly appreciate all the time and effort you guys have put into it. It really shows your commitment to this community, and on behalf of the city, I'm honored to thank you guys again and for all your years of being here, putting up with staff at times, you know, we try to answer your questions the best we can. And you guys have been true gentlemen, and thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, gentlemen.
And this, the city has a small token of recognition for all your all the years of service that. Did you want me to hand them out to you, gentlemen? So,
I'd like to say something, Paul. I thank you very much for having the privilege of sitting here and working on some of these plans, these projects. It's been an education. And my concern has been always the residents, business and the residents, and how do we intermingle these so that the city of Rialto benefits from the commercial end of it, but for the residents, because not everybody's going to be around that long, especially me. So thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you, sir.
We want to open it up and show people what it looks like.
John, go ahead.
Go ahead, John.
This is the top of the box.
The director of the planning commission, I'd like to say something to John and Frank.
Oh, that's nice.
John, it's been a pleasure to work with you as many years as I have and has known you as many years as I have. So I just want to let you know how appreciated I am of you. And if you need anything or have any questions, you always feel welcome at my office. You have always done that. So I just want to let you know how much I appreciate you. Frank, let you know as well. I appreciate you. I appreciate you when I met you with your mom and when I did her passport and your passport. And to meet his mom was, at that time, how old was she?
How old was she?
Yes.
Jeez. Well, it was she died in 98, so it must have been 78.
78, and so she would come and he would bring her and I would see her. So it was such a pleasure to see him with his mom.
As a matter of fact, Barbara, I'm going to renew my passport again.
Oh, sure. Because
I want to get back to traveling.
But sure, come down and do that. But I just want to let you know, and I appreciate you, how you spent the time with your mom and how so gracious and careful you was with her walking in and to from my office. So I really just, that was just to my heart to see you doing that and how you get around, but you were so careful with her, so that was a kind.
I appreciate it.
I just want to say appreciate you, and thank you for all the service you have given the commissions and the city of Rialto. So thank all of you guys, and I know everyone sitting up there, I know you very well, so over the years. And so when someone said over 30 years together, Dale has been there.
70?
Forever.
I knew Dale when I was like 16, so that should tell you something. So.
Yeah, they used to have a thing to tie your horse to the front.
So I just want to say I appreciate you on behalf of the mayor and council. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
So if we can just take a brief break and we'll...
Can I?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Thanks. Sorry. Yes, sir.
I want to take this opportunity. I've been on the commission for 15 years, and I truly believe that the commission always made the best interest of the community firsthand. And the only thing that I would like to see is that the commission continues that, takes care of the community first so that they are represented. So thank you for the opportunity.
All right, we'll take a quick 5-minute break and get restarted.
Okay, thank you.
we're going to get started because I know everyone is eager to get home. I know you've finished your planning commission meeting, and we're going to take this time to do the official oath, leaving office, assuming office, for the 700 Farms ethic training, just talk about some housekeeping things that we need to get done with the sitting commissions and the new commissions that is seated. We're going to do a brief presentation with the Brown Act, but before I do that, I'm going to ask the commissions to introduce themselves, give us a little history about them, and now I'm going to start with Virginia on this end.
Hello, can you guys hear me okay? My name is Virginia Palafox. I am a court reporter, and I am also a law school student through LOSP, and I've been living here since I was 4, and I also am an animal advocate, and I rescue animals, and I'm a single mom to one of those little girls back there, and I do this to be a great example for my kiddos, and I'm excited to be here. Thank you very much.
Terry?
Good evening. My name is Terry Schneider. I have been a resident in this wonderful community since 1989. I am currently employed as the CEO of the Boys and Girls Club in Fontana. I have served on the Beautification Commission for about 15 years, so I'm very grateful to be here, and I look forward to serving with you all.
Mike?
Good evening. I'm Mike Story. I worked for the City of Rialto for 34 years. I started as an associate planner and then a senior planner, then community development director, and then finally a city manager. And so now I'm back. So I don't know if that's good or bad, but I've lived in Rialto since 1980, raised my kids here, and I just get the great opportunity to do this. And it's just really eerie because Christina and Daniel Casey and Daniel Rosa, I gave them their first jobs. And now look at where they're at now and things. So we only have good things because we have great commissioners up here too that are gonna serve the community well. So thank you.
Hi, my name is Jerry Gutierrez, and I've lived in Rialto since the early 70s my whole life. Eisenhower graduate when there's only one high school in this city. I'm a retired assistant sheriff of the Riverside County Sheriff's Department, and I'm currently the sheriff's executive officer for the County of San Bernardino Sheriff's Department now. But I'll be retiring from that soon as well. So I'm a recidivist. They can't seem to retire permanently. I've been on the commission, I think 15 years longer.
15 years.
Yeah, a long time. I care about the city a lot. And sometimes I probe a little more past the scope of my seat sometimes, but I try to keep myself in line. But it's just because I'm passionate about and care about the city.
I'm Dale S. Vander. Been here since I got out of service in 61. Retired as a supervisor for Kaiser Steel Corporation. Lived in Rialto all this time. Sent two boys through school here. Went to Valley College, went to Cal State. Was tutored by Mike Story.
Yeah, me too.
And I've been on the Planning Commission couple days longer than Jerry.
Good evening. My name is Terry Thompson. I've lived in Rialto with my wife Kathy for just about 45 years. I'm a retired civil liabilities and risk management investigator. Previously, I worked for the police department, and I'm honored to be here. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Ray Correll, Jr. I have lived in Rialto since the early 80s. My parents moved us out from the Los Angeles area. One of the best things my parents could have done. I'm excited to be a part of this. I was a Rialto Fire Explorer during high school. Same thing, Eisenhower. I went to Valley College as well. I've also coached soccer for a very long time. I coached Daniel's daughter. In club soccer. I've been with Rialto Youth Soccer since I was 18 years old, and I didn't coach this year, but last year was one of my last years I coached for them. So I did over 20 years. I've seen players come out of Rialto and actually sign for teams and do big things. So I'm very proud to be here today. I appreciate the opportunity, and I'm looking forward to it.
Welcome, sir.
Thank you. So now we're just going to have a brief overview of the Brown Act and the conflict of interest, and then I'll come back up and finish up the homework that we need to get done. So we're going to have Robert, one of the, are you our deputy or the assistant city attorney? Robert?
Hi, my name is Robert Q. I'm your assistant city attorney. I will be covering the meetings with you, well, for the foreseeable future. And I'll be sitting there and advising you on procedures and whatnot. For tonight, I'm going to give you guys a very, very, very brief overview of the Brown Act and conflicts of interest. You'll be required to take AB 1234 training, which is ethics training, later on. But this is just to give you some ideas of what issues to spot. Okay. So the first step is the Brown Act. It's an open meetings law. The idea is that it promotes government transparency, right? So the idea is that all meetings of legislative bodies, including the Planning Commission, must be open to the public, right? And public must be allowed to comment at any meeting, right? So the commission, as I said, is a legislative body that's covered by the Brown Act. And meeting is broadly defined. It just simply means a quorum of people getting together, of the body getting together, that constitute enough to do a meeting. So the meetings have to be occurring at a properly agendized and noticed meetings, essentially. What that means is that staff posts the agenda. You see for the current meeting, there's an agenda that's posted. That needs to be done at least 72 hours in advance for regular meetings, 24 hours in advance for special meetings. That part, you guys don't have to worry about, but just understand that a legal meeting has to occur, has to have an agenda and has to be properly noticed, right? And you can only discuss items that are on the agenda specifically. Okay, so what's an improper meeting, right? Well, an improper meeting is anytime a quorum or majority of you guys get together outside of those parameters, right? If it's not noticed, there's no agenda, and there's four of you getting together, you guys can get together, you can't get together to talk about, say, for example, city business, right? Things within your jurisdiction. As I said, a quorum means a majority of the legislative body. But it's a little tricky, right? There's a thing called a serial meeting, where it's essentially a daisy chain, right? Member A talks to B, B talks to C, C talks to D. That's a Brown Act meeting under the Act, right? So that's not permitted, because again, it's not agendized, it's not properly noticed. Another example is the hub and spoke situation, where basically a central person talks to a quorum of you guys, and somehow you guys come up with a decision, essentially. Again, not permitted. Okay, because it's not noticed, it's not properly agendized. The Brown Act is rather expansive, and it includes meetings over technology, such as email, social media, any kind of forum posting, anything online, right? So when you hit reply all on that email, and there's a quorum of you on that email, and you're talking about city business, that's a potential violation as well. So just keep that in mind, don't reply all. We'll do our best to, you know, say, please, don't hit reply all, but just keep that in mind. Okay, there are a few exceptions to the meeting exceptions under the Brown Act. For example, individualized contact, conferences or seminars, attendance at community meetings, meetings of other agencies, social and ceremonial gatherings, ad hoc subcommittee meetings. That one you guys don't have to worry about. Observation of advisory committee meetings, so observing another committee. Generally speaking, there's more to it than this, but I just want to give you guys a very brief overview of what we're talking about here. So what that means is that, for example, you know, you guys can go meet with staff individually, right? But just got to keep mindful that, you know, you don't want to create a situation where you all know that you're meeting, you all know what you're talking about, and that creates a problem. Okay? This one, you don't have to worry about it. This is more here for you guys to know that it exists, but there's such a thing as a closed session, right? Certain situations, the Brown Act allows legislative bodies to meet in closed session about matters that are that require confidentiality. For example, meeting with legal counsel for litigation purposes. But this typically will not apply to you guys as a planning commission. This is more for city council, essentially. You'll see it on their agenda that there's closed sessions listings as well, right? Okay. I also wanted to add, if he has any questions, feel free to stop me, and I'll answer them as the best I can right now. conflicts of interest. So under the Political Reform Act, you guys have to be mindful of your conflicts of interest, right? Generally, the idea is that if you have a conflict of interest that has a, where the interest is materially affected by the decision you're about to make, then you have to recuse yourself, right? Rules are very, very complicated, very, very complicated. But broadly speaking, I want you guys to keep in mind the broad categories of conflicts of interest that I've listed there versus a conflict of interest in a business entity, for example, some a business that you own or a business that you work for or you hold a position with. Real property, for example, the home that you own, right? The old rule used to be if the property is within 500 feet of a project, then you've got a conflict of interest. The rule is a bit more complicated now, but again, I just want to keep that in mind for all of you guys. Source of income, so for example, an applicant is your employer, right? That's a potential issue. Source of gift, there's a thresholds there that we can get into, we'll get to in a little bit, but essentially if an applicant has gifted you guys something, then that's a potential conflict as well. The last one's kind of a catch-all, personal financial effect. Basically, what it's saying is that if the decision would affect your personal finances, there's a threshold of $500 or your or people of your in your immediate family, and that's a potential conflict as well. Again, these rules are very complicated, and just I just want you guys to be able to issue spot at this point. Gifts, so you know, what is a gift, right? A gift is anything of value that's given to you or you don't reciprocate, right? So someone, you know, hands you a gift card, right? That's a gift, right? Or they give you you know, a meal, that's a gift, right? If you don't pay them back or whatever, right? So the general idea is that you have to report on your Form 700s, which we'll talk about, city clerk will talk about that in a moment. But $50 or more per year per source in the aggregate, you have to report it on your Form 700s. The gift limit is $630 per year per source in the aggregate. So if it's a series of gifts that add up to 630, that's your limit. You can't go above that. On the limit, the FPPC adjusts that every couple years. That's the gift limit for this year. But we'll update you guys as it increases as well. As I referenced before, Form 700, that's your financial interest disclosures. That's something you guys have to fill out. That's where you report those your real property interests, your business interests, your source of income, that sort of thing. Okay. So how can you get additional guidance? Like I said, these rules are very, very complex. I've done a very brief overview. I know it's a lot of information, but anytime anything comes up, please contact your staff liaison and then we'll figure it out for you. But the main thing I want to mention to you guys is that ask early. If you ask me a conflict of interest question the night of the meeting, I'm going to tell you to recuse yourself because that's the safest thing to do because I haven't been able to fully investigate the matter. So if you ever have an issue, ask early so we can sort it out ahead of time. That's the end of my presentation. If you have any questions, I can answer them at this point. If not, I'll return it to City Clerk. Thank you.
It's pretty simple.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you.
Okay. And also, you can also come to the City Clerk's office to help with the 700 forms because they are with me. So we'll be glad to help anyone with their forms. In front of you, you have your oath, if you can pull that out for me. And I think Jerry and Dale probably...
I've already done mine already. Yeah.
Yes, since you already sitting, I didn't get one for you. I'm actually going to ask Terry, Virginia, Terry here, Mike, and Ray to stand, please. And raise your right hand. And Terry. I have two Terrys here. So
I'm going to stand too. I'll be guys with others.
Yeah, you might
want to. Raise your hand.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, you guys going to take the oath again?
Yeah, why not? Okay.
You're going to repeat your full name. Start with you, Ray.
Green Burrell Jr. Gary Roger Austin.
Dale Lesvander.
Jerry Jessica Terris Jr.
Michael E. Story.
Teresa
M. Schneider.
Virginia Palabox.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Constitution of the State of California.
Constitution of the State of California.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies.
Foreign and domestic.
Foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith.
That I will bear true faith.
And the allegiance.
And allegiance
to the Constitution.
To the Constitution.
State of California.
State of California.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservations.
Without any mental reservations.
A purpose of evasion.
A purpose of evasion.
That I will well and faithfully.
That I will well and faithfully.
Discharge the duty.
Discharge the duties.
Of a Rialto Planning Commission for the City of Rialto.
For the Rialto Planning Commission for the City of Rialto.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So if you can sign your document there, and I prefer blue ink. I prefer blue ink, please.
Yeah. Yeah, can I use your bottle?
Oh, sorry.
And Terry Snyder, I think you needed to do a leave-in office form for me, so I think you should have that in your package, a leave-in office form. Yes, because you are leaving the Beautification Commission, correct?
Yes.
Yes, so I need you to leave an office form in Virginia, Ray, and Terry, and Mike Sturber. I'm going to need you to complete assuming office form with your 700 form.
Okay.
And I'm going to need that ASP, okay, like tonight, if I can get it. And also with your 700 forms, and I know the attorney talked about that a little bit, you're gonna have to file that with the state. All planning commission has to file with the state. That started January of this year. You have to file it with the state. So you need to do that. Electronically, as soon as possible. It's only electronic.
It's easy.
Yes, but it's real important. You took office today. I need you to do that form tonight or tomorrow. If you need assistance, we will assist you, but you have to do it electronic. You can come to my office, but you need to do it. That's extremely important. So get that done. Because you're taking office. We started today. Okay. Any questions so far on that? The form is in you. It's there. So we will. But if you have any issues, we will assist you. The office will assist you. Also, you have in your packets ethics training. You have 30 days to complete this. All commissions, all seven of you guys. I'm doing 30 days from today's date. That's also online. If you need some assistance with that, we will assist you.
Do I need to retake that? Isn't it good for a year or two or something like that?
You need to do this.
Again, okay.
All seven of you guys sitting up there need to complete the ethics training. You don't have to ask him.
I thought it was every other year.
No, that you haven't taken this in a while.
Okay.
So actually the state requires me every 2 years. So I know you need to take it.
Okay.
Any questions so far?
I think I may have taken it for another commission I'm on, I think, but I'll look the state one. I'll get the certificate and I'll get it to you.
Yes, I need to. It'll okay. Need to be dated within. So.
No problem.
Okay, Jerry. Don't be starting.
I got you covered. I'll get it done.
Don't be starting anything. Any questions so far? We all are clear? Good. Okay. In front of you have your ordinance. please read that, because you have some additional duties that came under the Planning Commission when council combined the ordinance. There they put the mobile home commission in. Robert, I'm going to need to work with you with Christina, because that's some rules and laws that is, you need to understand the new laws and the rules for mobile home. So that's going to be another large, a huge undertaking that is going to happen. So, and we have 13 mobile home parks in the city of Rialto. So, and then I think came under the transportation. That's another one that got added to the Planning Commission. Transportation, which is a part of layover of planning anyway. So that's another undertaking that you have to, and then we put another one under there. I think it was the, see, did I do three? Mobile home. Entrance, okay, those are the three. So, and it's all in there. And if you have any questions, you have your director and the staff liaisons to those mobile home. But I do need to sit with Christine and whoever staff you're going to give me, and we need to do that as soon as we can with the mobile home, because you have some rules and laws that is coming up that I need the staff to be aware of with the Planning Commission. And we are going to, you have in front of you your nameplates. I need to make sure you check it to make sure everything is spelled correctly. Like I told all the other commissions, this is not a do-over. Please check to make sure everybody's name is spelled correct, how you want it spelled on there. If you want to change anything, this would be the time to change it. And first, the phone number I am putting on there. What number do you want us to have?
Should be 909-820-2535. Or is that staff? Is that good? Okay, 2535.
And the reason why I'm not doing personal phone numbers, yeah. Brown Act. Do not want to get you in trouble or us in trouble. So. That's on your business cards. So you would get business cards, and I just do not want your personal, if you give it out, that's you. But on the city business cards, I'm going to do your staff liaisons for you guys. Any questions so far?
Question?
So she's coming around to get it. So just please, guys, we're not going to do a do-over. Say we misspelled something.
Yeah.
It's going to be on your own. And then also, Christina, on there, I had asked to get their size of shirts, because they need to have some shirts. So shirt size. And also part of the orientation too, and I'm sure as you guys meet, Christina would go over, please attend some of the training. If all seven of you guys cannot attend, 2, 3, and come back and share it with the seven, but you need to go to some of the training. You need to go to some of the training. So please go. If you all cannot go, 3, 2, 1, whoever goes, come back and share the information. We have new laws and things coming up all the time. And you need to know, and you have planning workshops and planning things, so you just need to go. Also, And I've been saying this to all the commissioners. The city has events throughout the year. Different department has events all year long. It would be good to see some of you guys out there volunteering. I know everyone's sitting up there. I met Virginia last year, but I know everybody's sitting there. And we have events, so please come out to support those events. Yes, all this is volunteer, but it'd be good to see the commissions out participating and helping with those events. Mike is always at events. Terry's always at events. Terry's always come out. He used to do the dog show with me. He hasn't done that in a long time. But just do that. Please, please do that. When staff is asking for assistance on stuff, just help. We have a lot of grand openings and things of that sort. We will be sending emails, and most of the time those come from this person right here, Maria Rodriguez. Just respond to them. Yes, you're coming. No, I'm not coming. Because we want to make sure that we have to correct your correct email and things of that sort, because we do have a lot of that. And it'll be good to see the commissions out there at some of the business, you know, you help approve those. It'll be good for the business to see you guys out there at their grand openings and things like that. And I know you guys have jobs, you're working during the day, but some of the things we do on a Saturday or Friday or something like that, so. And another thing that council was really concerned about, your attendance. Staff has to give me a report every quarterly of the attendance. Just like council, they are excused three excused absence. I think they said the same, or did I say two to three?
It's three in the ordinance.
Three in the ordinance. Excuse, not just not showing up, excuse absence. So you have to be here to do what council has appointed you to do. So to do that, it means you have to come here. When is y'all meetings? On Wednesdays?
Yeah, planning commission meetings are the council is second, yeah. First and third Wednesdays of the month.
And I think this commission is the only commission meet twice a month. And I think this is the only commission that is by state law that gets a fee. So you guys the only commission. Right now we have four commissions. Utilities, beautification, parks and recreation, and this commission. We used to have 13. They combined all of those. So, any questions so far? Then the next thing that I will do is the term limits. So pick your little number. It's gonna be either two or four. And we stagnated that because we do not want the commission to be without a quorum on the years. And I think in this ordinance, I think we did term limits for commissions. I think they are 12 years. Yeah, I think we put, that's why I say read that book, because I think we passed this ordinance in, can I do this in March? Damien, wasn't this March when I did this new ordinance?
It's the first year.
I did this ordinance in March. So March of, was it this year?
In 2 years.
Oh, I had it on there 3 years. Oh, that's what it is.
The 6 months.
6 weeks. I didn't do any of them 6 months. I did 2 or 4 years.
No, it's only two.
Okay, so who are my 4 years commissioners? Do you have that, Maria? Did you write it down? Okay, and then the 2 years, Dale and Terry, okay. Very good. Okay, now we're going to, any questions so far? So after the 2 years, what you need to do, the same process, is to write a letter to the city clerk asking to be reappointed or not to be reappointed, or to, you no longer, if you want to serve, you write it to the city clerk. If you do not want to serve, you write it to the city clerk. Okay? Next one we are going to do chair and vice chair.
I'd like to make a motion. We could. I'd like to motion Mike Story to be the chair.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
I'd like to make a motion that Jerry become the vice chair.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any comments or questions? All those in favor of Jerry being the vice chair signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Hearing none, approved.
Okay, so we have, and you know, I said last night was year, but actually I'm gonna correct myself from, I told the commission last night a year, but since I have councils every 2 years, I would just keep it as the same as council for the pro tem. So I do it every 2 years. So every 2 years, and I'm gonna correct that with the commission. I think I did last night that I said a year, but I'm gonna keep it on the same as the council for every 2 years. Any questions for me?
You two need to change seats.
That's right, sure do. Oh, just when's the next meeting? Should I have in my calendar? I go where my calendar says to go.
The next meeting will be, let me.
Oh, first.
Oh, October 1st.
Right. So no questions. And I say, if anyone needs some assistance, please just call or come by. We will help do that. The state is actually not playing with me with the Planning Commission. Mm-hmm. If I don't get
money.
Right, Robert? They're not playing with me on that.
Mm-hmm.
And especially you guys, because I have to do paperwork for the Planning Commission. Yep. So that's why it's extremely important to complete the form.
October 1st.
If nothing else, Christina, listen, you have anybody have a question for me?
No.
Welcome, and
thank
appreciate
you
guys, and
thank
looking
you
forward to working with each and every one of you.
All right.
Thank you, Ms. Barbara. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
All right. Director, what do we got?
Thank you. Welcome aboard, everybody. We're looking forward to meeting with you. I have a few things, but first I'd like to take the opportunity to let staff introduce themselves. So you won't necessarily see all of them every meeting, but I did ask them to stay this meeting so that you could see the faces and hear a little bit about them, and then just know who you're going to be working with at any given meeting. So I'll start with our community development manager.
Good evening, Chair, members of the Planning Commission. Paul Gonzalez, Community Development Manager. I've been here for about 3.5 years now, 1 on 4. I'm happy to be here in Rialto. I'll be here if you have any questions. I can get you my business cards. I can send you emails. Feel free to contact me anytime. A little bit about me. I've been here, as I said, 3.5 years. Before that, I was in the city of Montana for 18.5 years. Live in the Inland Empire, and currently I manage the planning department and the business license department.
Good evening. Congratulations to all the commissioners. I'm Daniel Casey, principal planner. I've been here at the city of Rialto. It'll be 18 years in October. You'll see me making presentations up here quite often, like I did tonight. And same thing, if you have any questions, I'll provide my business card. I'll be available should you have any. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right.
How much are these worth?
So sorry. Got it.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Brian Vasquez. I work as a planning technician. I don't know how often you guys might see me, but congratulations.
Thank you.
I've been working for Rialto. It's about to be 2 years in October, so eager to learn and eager to keep working.
All right, good deal.
Job.
Good evening, commissioners. Congratulations and welcome. My name's Jason Costa. I'm associate planner here. I've been here about 3.5 years.
Fast.
Thank you.
All right, good meeting, commissioners. Chair, Daniel Rosas, been here going on 14 years since Mike let me in the door. But yeah, same thing that Daniel Casey said. I'm the senior planner, so you'll see me up here making some of the presentations. Not every meeting, but look forward to it. Working with all of you. All right.
Yeah, we have some other staff if you guys want to.
Hi, congratulations. Good evening. My name is Kim Dame. I'm an administrative analyst in community development. You'll see me here sometimes just lurking, or I will be backing up Haiti when she's not available.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Abe Abdenor. I am also an administrative analyst. I've been with the city 6.5 years, started as business license, did payroll, and now with community development again.
Awesome. Good job.
Thanks, everybody. So we have an outstanding staff here. As you can see, some very seasoned folks, and they are a delight to work with. I've been here, and then I left, and now I'm back.
And you left and then came back.
Yeah.
There's like three times. I can't remember. So, I lost track how many times you left.
Right,
and came
right.
Back,
Mike also did let me in the door once upon a time many years ago. So anyway, we are looking forward to working with you. As mentioned earlier, our next meeting is October 1st, although I don't anticipate that we have any items at that meeting.
Okay.
So Haiti will typically communicate with you guys. She will do quorum checks. She'll let you know as soon as we know whether or not there's going to be a meeting, so you can plan accordingly. If there's no meeting, then obviously we won't meet. We do tend to provide food prior to the meetings over in the community development building, so you guys are welcome to come over about 5:30-ish and help yourself to, you know, some light eats before the meeting. Sometimes the meetings are long, sometimes they're not, so anyway, at least you have something to hold you over. I think we'll be in touch with you guys individually just to make sure you have a grasp on what's going on. You have some understanding of, you know, expectations, or if you have any questions as far as, you know, kind of what your role is or how it works. We're happy to answer that. You can reach out to myself. You can reach out to community development manager or principal planner. Really, any of the staff here are very responsive. So, you know, that's it's at your we're at your disposal. But we will. You'll have projects coming up. Unlike the other commissions, this commission has been functioning nonstop, right? So we don't really have a work plan that needs to go over. Essentially, projects will be coming to you like they did to the commission tonight. There are training opportunities. I know City Clerk mentioned that, so we'll be in touch with you on those as they come up. There's usually one big one each year that Cal Cities puts on. It's a Planning Commissioners Institute, or something to that effect. Now I'm not sure if that's the same name, but we will let you know ahead of time when that comes up and make it available. And I know some of you had the opportunity to attend a training in Eastvale this last week ahead of being appointed here, and so I appreciate that you guys took that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
If you come across anything or if you have interest in anything, you can let us know as well. We try and keep a handle on what's available, but if you find something that you're interested in that's training available, let us know and we'll see what we can do there. Other than that, I think that'll do it for tonight.
I just want to say a comment too.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome all the new folks with us here. Dale and I have been here for quite a while. Just reiterate what she mentioned. They have a wonderful staff here, very responsive, and try their best to keep up with some questions that we'll ask, you know, like the one I asked today about, can we get us off the floor with traffic studies? Instead of being the bottom, can we be somewhere in the middle? Be mindful that it does take away staff time, so we're always trying to cautious on how much we're asking, but that one I think is, you could tell how ridiculous the standard is low on that for the state, so that's something I thought would be appropriate. But I'm all available to ask any questions. And Mike's story, I mean, I've learned so much about him from him through the years. And, you know, I'm glad to work with him, obviously, and all of you guys. And I've been here for a little while, too. So I enjoy work doing it, but sometimes it's good.
Any other commission comments?
So now we're going to have Mike correcting the staff now, right?
It's like your old hat.
Yeah. Don't think we haven't already talked about that internally.
Well, we're going to try. Any other comments? I know, Terry, you went to the training in Eastvale. They're supposed to get some PowerPoint stuff that we need.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
That, yeah.
So that we can distribute to
us. I have
us
that to distribute out to staff.
Okay, cool.
That'd be great.
I mean, to commission.
So.
I have one more if I can.
Oh, sure.
Sorry, Chair.
No,
so tonight you guys don't all have iPads in front of you, but you will have iPads in front of you to go through the agenda for your meetings. So if you, we send out everything electronically. So if you have some need for paper, let us know. But we do try and avoid having to print everything. A lot of the items that you'll see, especially if they're CEQA heavy, will have like thousands of pages. So, you know, digital is generally better. But let us know if there's any reason why you might want a paper copy of something. And then general plan, zoning code, all the information is available on the website. But again, we can make contact with each of you and just, you know, get you up to date and find out if there's any information that you additionally would like from us. Now, that's it for real. Thank you.
Lastly, just real quick about how if when we get an agenda to be able to do those things, and maybe it's for the attorney too, to make sure you don't violate anything. If we, when we get the agenda, we usually get it like Thursday or something before the meeting to do it. And if we have specific questions about an item or items on there, are we allowed to contact Christina or that to get the questions? Because I mean, the last thing I want to do is have a whole string of questions and unveil them surprisingly at the meeting so they're not prepared to be able to answer. So I don't know what's appropriate or not.
I think staff would prefer that, is that you provide the questions. They may not necessarily answer you. They may have to put it on the record, you know, so you can ask those questions.
So that is, yeah, that's, surprises are never any fun for staff, I remember. So, okay, so if you guys know that, if you got questions, that none of us will have those, right, Terry? You never have questions, do you? So, all the time, so it's, but.
We're good to serve.
Got it. All right, very good. That's it. Anything else for the good of the cause? All right. Is there a motion to adjourn tonight's
Move
meeting?
Move to adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, meeting's adjourned.